and Merry Christmas. You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming live at WPKN.org. And that was Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And welcome to In Context, WPKN's live public affairs call-in show. I'm your host, Ken McDermott Rowe. You can hear In Context every Monday from noon to 1 p.m., except the first Monday of the month when WPKN's general manager, Steve, reports to listeners. Our website is incontextreport.com. You can check us out on Facebook and see our videos on the In Context Report channel on YouTube. And with me in the studio today is my fellow host, Gus Cantavera.
Hello.
On this Christmas Eve edition of In Context, we're going to talk about what Christmas means and how people celebrate Christmas. Christmas, of course, commemorates the birth of Jesus, who's regarded by Christians as the Messiah, the Son of God, who on Easter sacrificed himself for the sake of all people. Many non-Christians, while they may not regard Jesus as divine, revere him as a great teacher who espoused the golden rule that we should all love one another. Yet today, Christmas has been largely transformed into a shopping frenzy. A shopping frenzy that not only ignores the holiday's religious meaning, but also leaves many of us exhausted and unfulfilled. So in today's program, we're going to speak with representatives of two important local charities who may help bring us back to what Christmas is about. Dave O'Sullivan of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen and Mark Grasso of the Thomas Merton Center in Bridgeport. But before we speak with our guests, we're going to play an excerpt, which is about 6 minutes long, from an interview I had with noted environmentalist Bill McKibben. And Bill wrote a book called $100 Holiday, The Case for a More Joyful Christmas. So we turn now to this excerpt from, can we cue that up? From
mm-hmm,
Bill McKibben,
that's right.
With Bill McKibben on the $100 Holiday. This is Ken McDermott Rowe. Our special guest today is environmentalist and best-selling author Bill McKibben. Among Mr. Kibben's many books is the classic The End of Nature, which is considered the first book on global warming for the general audience. Although much of Mr. McKibben's writings concern the environment, we're going to begin our discussion today with a book he wrote on a very different subject, the subject of Christmas, and the book is entitled $100 Holiday, The Case for a More Joyful Christmas. Mr. McKibben, thanks very much for joining us. In your book, you wrote, Christmas had become something to endure, at least as much as it had become something to enjoy. Could you expand on that?
Sure. If you poll people this time of year, and people have done it, what you find is that something like 3/4 of Americans dread the approach of the holidays instead of viewing them with anticipation. And the reasons pretty obvious. You know, it's just another dose of busyness in an already too busy way of life. There's too much money, too much time, too much craziness. I think what's going on more than anything else is that we're following an old strategy, the idea that more stuff equals a better, happier life. It becomes magnified at Christmas, and so too, therefore, becomes magnified the fact that this strategy, which used to work, no longer does work for us. We've reached a point of saturation with stuff, and now what we really want and need is time and contact with each other and with the natural world.
So who was the Grinch that stole Christmas?
Well, it was a long process, of course, but in recent decades, clearly the force that's driving our celebration of Christmas is a kind of consumer merchandising complex that tells us over and over again what constitutes a proper Christmas and what we'd be bereft without. And, you know, in the absence of some other set of clues, then we pay attention to the Walmarts and the Targets and the Norelcos and whoever else it is. It turns out, though, that if people are given permission, say by their pastors in church, to celebrate Christmas in a different way, people jump at the opportunity. That's what we found anyway with this $100 holiday campaign that we've done.
In $100 holiday, you talk about how Christmas, the Christmas we know today, was really invented in the 19th century. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, Christmas, you know, has obviously been around a long time, 2,000 years. But our current celebration of it, the one that consists mostly of awarding each other presents, is an American invention and a relatively recent one, has something to do with wanting to tame what had been a rather subversive and even Saturnalian holiday, and much to do with wanting to provide an outlet for consumerism. It grew rapidly in the 19th and especially the 20th century, and it's now, as I say, reached a proportion where it no longer satisfies people all that much.
You said that Clement Moore, the writer, actually had a lot to do with the transformation of Christmas into the modern Christmas.
Yes, of course, his famous tale, A Night Before Christmas, was one of the earliest kind of depictions of what we now come to think of as a normal Christmas.
Well, how do you and your family celebrate Christmas in a way that's more joyful?
Well, I guess we try to think of it, in a sense, as someone else's birthday, Jesus's birthday. And so I guess we treat it like a birthday. Instead of expecting presents for ourselves, although we give each other small things, we have a great deal of fun figuring out what we can do for other people, what small things we can make for our friends and neighbors and family. Generally, we take our money and give it to some worthy cause, and then give people symbolic gifts. Last year, for instance, since we were giving money to support environmental efforts, we made little Christmas tree candies out of maple sugar, maple syrup that we'd helped brew ourselves the spring before in the woods where we live. And that was extremely much fun. And to judge from the reaction of the people we sent them to, precisely what people wanted. And we've now reached the point where many people are sending us the same kind of gifts every year.
So your new approach is spreading amongst your friends and acquaintances from church?
Yes, indeed. And spreading in many other places, too. I mean, there's two kinds of Christmases going on now, an ever-larger kind of Walmart Christmas. That trend is still there. But there's also this counter-trend of lots of people who are thinking of new ways about doing things. One of the best places to go for people who want more information about this is the website of the Center for a New American Dream, newdream.org, which has done a lot of work with these alternative Christmas celebrations.
A Merry Christmas. You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM, streaming at WPKN.org or in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And the name of the show is In Context. I'm Ken McDermott Rowe, and I'm here with my fellow host, Gus Cantavero.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
And you were just listening to an excerpt of a conversation I had with Bill McKibben, the famous environmentalist, about his book, $100 Holiday, The Case for a More Joyful Christmas, in which he outlines how we can sort of reevaluate how we celebrate Christmas to make it more satisfying and get away from the sort of insane commercialism. And we are a non-commercial radio station, so we're free to talk about insane commercialism. So what do you think, Gus? How do people combat this kind of over-commercialization of Christmas?
Well, that's a difficult question, but it's very prevalent in our society. You can see that places like Bed Bath & Beyond set up their Christmas decorations before Halloween. Right?
Is that so, right?
I saw it this year. I have the visual proof. And, you know, that, to me, is the epitome of ruining something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, chocolate cake is good, so we should have it three meals a day every day, right?
Right.
No, that's
right.
Not good. That, I think, ruins it a little bit. So when you have Christmas year-round, and it's clearly just to save the economy, it's just to benefit the corporations that sell us these imported Chinese slave products.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because they're trying to commemorate and be even more Christian.
Yeah, you know, right.
It's not because...
Express your devotion to Christmas by shopping more.
Well, yeah, Best Buy is not celebrating Christ's birth by decorating the store with Christmas trees and wreaths and lights and offering doorbuster deals.
Right.
It's because they make money on it. And you know, they call Black Friday Black Friday. Why? Because that's the day when all the companies get in the black.
Is that why they call it Black Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did quite understand that.
Yeah. I always assumed it was because it was a hellish day.
You know, certainly for the employees, it's a pretty black day.
I mean, I always thought it was just the most evil day of the year. But no, that's actually why it's called that. And I also figured out, I had a revelation this season. Why the advertisements of Christmas have to start so early? You know how it's always like the month before Thanksgiving that you start seeing Christmas ads?
Right.
The reason why is because it takes them a month to get you in the mindset to get ready to shop.
I see. It's
and if they if they're gearing up for Black Friday, they have to start at Halloween.
Of course.
Otherwise, there's not enough time to advertise.
That's right, because they've got to unleash this torrent of shopping on the day after Thanksgiving.
And it used to be the advertising started in late November, after Thanksgiving, like the day after or something. You start seeing Christmas ads. Now it's Halloween. So
yeah.
So, I mean, personally, my family, we don't do that much Christmas shopping. We, like Bill McKibben said, they limit it to some small gifts or something that they can do for somebody else. And I do my shopping online primarily. You know, I don't go out and deal with the frustration of the stores and stuff because I find that to be the biggest downer. You know, I mean, you become so jaded toward this holiday and you just want it to be over.
That's it. You become jaded and it should be a joyful holiday. If you're a Christian, of course, it's mm-hmm. next to Easter, the most important holiday. It's mm-hmm. the birth of Jesus.
The birth
and, and even if you're not a Christian, Jesus represents, I think, to everybody the golden rule, the idea we should love our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We should find a meaning in our lives, not in the things we accumulate, but in the good things that we can do for each other. So I think it's a great concept, whether you're a Christian or not, and to have it kind of mired in this crazy commercialism is very unfortunate. It seems like that crazy commercialism at Christmas time is just a reflection of the larger social problem we have, which is that we see happiness as accumulating more things. And that's kind of a year-round problem we have in this country. And I don't think it's us.
Yeah.
I don't think materialism is us. I think it's foisted on us by the corporate government, which really runs every aspect of public policy in this country.
Well, like you read that article I wrote on the Newtown Massacre where I said, you know, the title of the article is Newtown Massacre, a Symptom of a Sick Society. And one of the things that I focused on in there is advertising as propaganda to convince you that you're happier when you have physical possessions, materialism. And people believe it because they're bombarded with it at all times. Everywhere in our society, there is advertising that is trying to manipulate you into thinking you're happier with possessions.
That's right.
And it doesn't last because, I mean, if you think of the message of Christ, it's that you have a God-shaped hole and that you're not going to be happy until you find your destiny and you accept Christ's forgiveness. But on this flip side, the message of our modern materialistic Christmas is the complete opposite. It's that you need to bathe yourself in possessions to be happy.
That's right.
And you will be happy by giving really expensive gifts to other people, when really all you're doing is serving the corporations.
And that's really the Christianity and Islam and other great religions are not really compatible. They're not in sync with the ethos of the private corporation, which is the highest value is increased marginal profit. That's really not what Christianity and the other great religions are about. So somehow, because of their immense control of our society and our media, they have to turn us away from that concept towards accumulating things as the end-all be-all.
Yeah. I mean, especially with this disposable economy that we have, where everything that you buy lasts just a couple of months. I mean, it's gotten so bad now where, I mean, I haven't bought a toy for my son in a long time. He's now 16, but when he was 10, you know, I think I went to Toys R Us or something and I got him a little, like, you know, tank or something like that. And he was really into little figurines and models. And it broke coming out of the box.
Wow.
You know, and now it's like, never again. That was such a mistake.
But it's all about getting to buy more and more often. And it is very seductive. I mean, I like things. I like to see my wife dressed in nice clothes.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I like to have nice furniture. I want to have a computer that functions well and has a lot of features. And I mean, I think this is not to say that we shouldn't have these things, but we need to keep everything in a proper proportion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying let's go back to the Stone Age and don't give gifts and, you know, but the point is that if that's really what someone needs and would help them, then give that gift to them. But if it's just the fact that you're trying to make the pile of presents bigger by giving them another, playset from Toys R Us because you think you're buying your kids love.
Yeah.
You're fooling yourselves.
And of course, that's right. And the time with your children is what's really important.
Exactly.
Yeah, giving of yourself. And the fact that this doesn't work is evident in a high level of depression in our society.
Oh, yeah.
Tens of millions of people are on antidepressants. We did a show on that with Dr. Peter Bragan called Medication Madness. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with the empty feeling people are left with by this over-commercialization of their lives.
They are left feeling empty, but they're also left feeling self-conscious about it because there is such a pressure to have some place to go and to have a loved one to spend it with and to get a gift from somebody. And if you don't have those three things, you may as well just kill yourself.
That's right.
That's why we see suicide go up around the holidays and why we have post-holiday blues, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that these things even exist when the idea of the holiday is to spend the time with someone else, do something for someone else, give something of yourself to someone else,
yeah,
and not expect to get and just be focused on
the things,
the transaction that's taking
exactly,
place.
Exactly. And that's where the family comes in and your friends, and just being with them is really what the holiday is about, and being grateful for what you have. And if you're Christian, celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, some good friends of ours, you know, I said, what are you doing for Christmas? And they say, well, a few years ago, we changed the way we did it. Instead of going over our in-laws' house or whatever, we stay home and our house is made available to everyone we know. So anyone we know who wants to come over, we will be there all day. And you can come and you can eat with us and spend the time. And if you have nowhere else to go, come here. You know, and I think that's pretty cool.
I think it's a great concept.
That's the best way to do it.
And, you know, when you do that, when you change the way you celebrate Christmas, you start to change the society. You know, Ron Paul was in his farewell address, and we talk a lot about Ron Paul because he's one of the independents we admire here, like Dennis Kucinich and Ralph Nader, people who are not, you know, in the thrall of
the pocket
of the corporate interest. He said, we may not be able to change this country at the top level. The political parties are so corrupt. But you can change your life. Your family can change its life, and you can change things at the community level and at, say, your local church level. And I think that's true. That's how we are going to change our society, because we can't stand up individually the power of these corporations that, say, run our healthcare system, which is a horrible overspending in order to support these huge private insurance companies and other profit centers in the medical care industry. But we can look to our the way we deal with each other and our families, and we can start change at that level. And in this show, we're talking about Christmas and what its meaning and how you can celebrate it. And we're going to have a couple guests on our show who represent local charities who we think demonstrate the real spirit of Christmas. So why don't we take a music break, Gus, and we'll come back with Dave O'Sullivan of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen, who is working even today, Christmas Eve, but he's going to spare a few minutes for us to tell us about the activities of the New Haven Soup Kitchen.
We waited all through the year for the day to appear when we could be in harmony. You know the time will come, peace on earth for everyone, and we can live forever in a world where we are free. Let it shine for you and me.
Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve. You're listening live to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We're talking about Christmas, how to celebrate Christmas, what's Christmas, what it means. And we're very happy to be joined by Dave O'Sullivan, the director of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen. Hello, Dave. You're there?
Yes, Ken. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you for taking time out of your busy Christmas Eve day to join us on In Context. And could you please tell our listeners about the work of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen?
Well, we provide lunch 4 days a week in our dining room at Christ Church on Broadway in New Haven. Then we work with four other groups that provide breakfast 4 days a week. Then we also work with St. Luke's Church that provides lunch for women and children twice a week. And then we also work with a group called Fellowship Place, which works with the handicapped and mentally ill, and we give them bagged lunches 4 days a week. So we work with several other groups in the immediate area and try to reach out to as many people as possible.
And where exactly? You're located at 84 Broadway in New Haven?
We're at 84 Broadway in New Haven, which is directly across the street from the Yale Bookstore.
And could you just give out your website just so that people know how to get more information?
I believe it's www.csknewhaven.com.
.org is what I have.
.org.
But that's csknewhaven.org. And is there a phone number people can call?
It's 203-624-4594.
And what are you serving a lunch today?
We are. We're serving lunch today at our normal schedule, and then tomorrow we'll be open for lunch from 11:30 to 1:30.
And it must be particularly poignant at Christmas time when people come in to see you, because I assume that they're often in very difficult circumstances.
Yeah. Many of our people are homeless. They're mentally ill. They're chronic substance abusers. They're a wide range of people, and the door is open to anybody who needs a meal.
And what kind of other help can you get them? Does a lot of it relate to health issues?
Yep. We're very lucky in that we have nurses from the Hill Health Center who come by 4 days a week. We also have people from AIDS Project New Haven and the City of New Haven's Health Department. They come by once a week, and they can do an HIV test here on site. And then we've worked with other groups like the Jewish League of Women Voters, who did voter registration here. We try to reach out in as many ways as we can.
Do you have any needs that listeners who are so moved could help provide for?
Well, we can always use money. That's, a bottom line. We always need that sort of thing. But often a lot of things that we look for are things that people would recognize you need but wouldn't think of donating. Toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning supplies, bleach, laundry detergent. All those are the kinds of things that we need, and people think first about getting food, and of course that's wonderful, but those are other things that we use.
How much does it cost to run a place like that?
This year we're operating on a budget of about $306,000, and I expect by the end of the year we will have provided 68,000 meals.
Wow.
That's great.
So
that's
it comes out to about $4 a meal, roughly, or $4.50 a meal, but that includes the cost of food, the cost of insurance, the cost of equipment repair, fundraising, salaries, everything.
Do you find that there are a lot of people who come in regularly, that your service is something that's really sustaining them on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is for a lot of our folks, there's not a lot of stability in their lives. So when they have a place like us that's open regularly. I mean, Tuesday is one of our regular days to be open, so that's why we will be open tomorrow. And so having just that kind of stability in their lives makes a big help.
You know, one of the situations we talk about is underemployment, unemployment in the country on the show In Context. To what extent do you think joblessness or the low pay of jobs is related to hunger?
It's definitely a major factor, absolutely positively. Many of our guests do find part-time jobs or, jobs that just pay minimum wage, and they can barely do mm-hmm. much of anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the cost of living in Connecticut is so high.
Yeah, $8 an hour is nothing in Connecticut.
Yeah, and apparently the average two-bedroom apartment in New Haven, I believe, rents for about $1,200, and that may not necessarily be in an area anyone would want to live in.
Sure. So then there's the mismatch. I mean, $8 an hour, your take-home might, I don't think it would cover just your rent alone on that.
Exactly, because many apartment companies want at least 1 month rent up front and then the last month rent up front. So you may need to come up with $2,000 or $3,000 before you can walk in the door.
Right.
And of course, health insurance, we've done shows on that too, Dave, and the average health insurance for a family now is $15,000 if you have to go out and buy it in the market, which again is probably exceeds the take home of somebody on minimum wage.
Oh, sure, sure, definitely.
Have you seen changes in the population that that's coming into use, the soup kitchens over the recent years? Is it changing in its nature? Is it, say, more people who are sick, or is it more due to job loss, or?
What we've noticed, particularly well in the past couple of years, the demographics have shifted slightly. Over the years, you could generally say that 75% of our population was African American. 15% was Hispanic, and 10% was white. And those are, pretty broad figures. But they're fairly close enough to be, worth using for discussion. In the past several years, we've certainly seen more Hispanics in the crowd, but they tend to come and go very quickly. We don't see them for very long. In the past year or two, we've been seeing a great many more younger white people coming in. And apparently what's happening is these are young folks who, might live out in the suburbs of New Haven or come from the suburbs of New Haven, gotten involved with drugs, and mm-hmm. can't quite go home again. So we're seeing much more of that sort of population.
Yeah, one thing we've covered on this show a lot is the crushing cost of student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of the working poor with degrees from universities. Do you know anything about the people who come there who may be part of this group?
Don't know about that in that exact sense, but I know we've had several people coming in who've had master's degrees
wow.
or doctorates even, and I had one man who was actually doing, I think he was on a SAGA program, which is like the current, it's currently used for food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, I think he had a master's degree.
Wow.
And he was looking for a job, and he kept looking and looking, but because he was like 55 or 56 years old, nobody would hire him. But eventually he did find a job out of state, and he mm-hmm. was actually left the soup kitchen to go teach in a university.
Wow.
So, it really is kind of remarkable. And then along those same lines, I mean, there are people who come in who are simply lonely. You might have someone who, has gone to university, gone to college, done any number of things, but they're just they're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. They don't want to sit at home in an apartment all day and watch
right.
TV. It's better to get out and connect with people at some
right.
level.
Yeah, we actually just talked about that a few minutes ago. I don't know if you're listening, but we were talking about some friends of mine who just opened their house up to everyone that they know on Christmas, and anyone is welcome, and I think that that's really great.
Yeah.
Because
so,
that's one of the problems. I mean, people feel this need to connect, and if you are, unfortunate enough, I guess, not to have family or anything, maybe they just don't even live nearby, this
and
is really great.
It's interesting how people really appreciate it when you get to know their name and they're not
yeah.
just a face in the crowd.
Right.
I mean, if you say, "Good morning, Charlie, did you watch the Knicks last night?" or anything to that effect,
uh-huh.
all of a sudden you're building a connection that they don't otherwise have.
Right.
Wow. If you just joined us, you're listening to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And we're talking with Dave O'Sullivan, the director of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen. So, Dave, we thank you very much for the great work you're doing and for reminding us about what Christmas is about. And at this time of year, for you to be providing the lunches to hungry people and homeless people in the New Haven area, it's a wonderful thing, and we thank you for doing that. And before you go, could you please give out your phone number and your website is csknewhaven.org, and you're at Christ Church, the Episcopal Church at 84 Broadway in New Haven. And what's your phone number?
It's 203-624-4594.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dave, and we wish you and everybody there a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Bye-bye now. And that again was Dave O'Sullivan, the director of the New Haven Community Soup Kitchen. And they serve quite a few lunches there, many thousands of lunches to the needy people in New Haven. And they come in with all sorts of problems. Some of them are AIDS. Some of them are drug abuse. Some of them are just jobless.
Yeah. You know, the reason I asked about the education level is because I think people have a predetermined thought process about soup kitchens that they're only feeding the extremely poor,
right,
homeless, and mentally disabled.
Someone not like me, sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone
right?
not like me, right.
Yeah, yeah. And poverty can happen to anybody.
Right.
And you could be in tough shape. And this is a really tough time of year to be in that condition.
Especially more so around the country in California and the South. Less so here. I mean, like the educated.
Yeah.
But it can happen anywhere.
Yep. And it can happen to anybody. And this is really what Christmas is about, is the other. It's not about the self. You know, it's that when you look in the mirror, you don't see just yourself, you see the other.
Yeah.
And we recognize, if you're a person of faith, you recognize the divine in every person. And that's regardless of what what religion you
And even if you're an atheist and you just want to have a Christmas tree and Santa Claus and you don't want to focus on the religious aspect, it's just human nature to feel better, to help someone else.
Right, right.
You know, not to be the Bill Maher of the world and just say it's all about me.
Yeah.
Because that's the road to misery, really.
That's right, and kind of an emptiness. And, we can, as we were talking earlier, we can change this country. We can change it profoundly by changing our own lives, whether it's in the way we celebrate Christmas, how we treat ourselves in terms of health care. It's what we do in our local communities. We can really make profound changes in our society. But I think that helping each other is probably the most important thing that we can do. Now, why don't we take a short music break, and we'll be back with the representative of another important, very important local charity. That's Mark Grasso of the Thomas Merton Center here in Bridgeport. We'll talk about their activities. So let's cue up some music.
Singing, there's a touch of magic in the air.
And Merry Christmas. You're listening to Live Edition of In Context this Christmas Eve on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport and WPKN.org. We're stream. And we thank you very much for your support because we are listener-sponsored. And we're talking about Christmas, about how people celebrate Christmas, what Christmas means. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe. I'm here with my fellow host, Gus Cantavero. And our next guest is Mark Grasso, director of the Thomas Merton Center in Bridgeport. And Mark is also vice president of Catholic Charities. And Mark, thanks very much for taking time out of your Christmas Eve to join us on In Context.
Oh, you're welcome.
Could you please tell us about the work of the Thomas Merton Center?
Sure. Well, Thomas Merton Center is a program of Catholic Charities of Fairfield County. It's actually an assortment of programs, the largest of which is our House of Hospitality, which, you know, you would think of as a soup kitchen. And we serve breakfast and lunch Monday through Saturday there. We have a food pantry that is open 3 days a week where we serve people that are generally from the inner part of Bridgeport, our general neighborhood. And we have a family center where we, besides feeding families, we also do skills building with mostly young moms and preschool kids. We have them working together to help the parents increase their parenting skills and help the kids get socially ready for school. And we also run through Catholic Charities Housing Department. We have an apartment complex in what used to be our parking lot where we have 16 families there. It's permanent housing, supported housing, as well as another six apartments on Catherine Street, which is adjacent to us. We're located on the corner of Madison Avenue in Washington in Bridgeport.
And how can people reach you? Is there a phone number that people wanted to contact you?
Sure, yeah. It's 203-367-9036. That's how people usually get in touch
with
us. It's
203-367-9036. And your website is it's the same as the Catholic Charities Fairfield website as you use?
Yeah, it is. It's ccfairfield.org, and all the programs of Catholic Charities are listed on that site. And there's information about all the programs on that site as well.
And how's the level of your services at this time of year? Are you very busy?
It is. You know, we've gotten a lot busier. I don't really attribute that to the holidays. Our House of Hospitality has gotten a little busier. Our big change has been our food pantry. Our food pantry we see about twice as many people now as we did 2 years ago.
Wow.
I don't really attribute that to the time of year. I think it's other things, but that's been our biggest change. We typically work with the poorest of the poor. So people, you know, the folks that we serve, they're needy all the time. You know, they're not more needy around Christmas.
Sure.
They may appreciate it more around Christmas and Thanksgiving, but we see the same level of need, certainly in our House of Hospitality and Family Center, the whole year.
So you said that you're seeing twice the traffic. Does that mean that you're also needing twice the resources?
Yeah, we are. We part of it with our pantry is we made a conscious effort to try to distribute higher quality food. We're putting more of an emphasis on distributing fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and whole grain foods and things like that. And I think, I know part of what we're seeing, part of that big jump is attributed to the fact that we're getting a lot of people that are now aware of that, that can't afford those foods anymore.
Right.
So we're actually getting a lot of people that will come in specifically for that and even, you know, tell us, I don't really need any canned food. If you have anything that you have that's fresh, just give me that.
Okay.
You know, because they can, a lot of our folks, you know, most of those visitors to our pantry, they live somewhere, and they have usually most of them have some money. So they can afford canned stuff, and they can also get it from other pantries.
Mm-hmm.
But what they can't afford anymore is, you know, because just the price of the better foods has gone up so much in the past, like 20, 25 years, it's almost out of range for most of the people
there. You go in the supermarket, a loaf of bread's $4 now.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's totally insane. When I'm talking about specialty stuff, I'm saying your average loaf of bread is now $4 a
loaf. And if you are conscious of trying not to eat the most refined and cheap quality food, then it's just up, completely unaffordable.
It goes up from there. Then the Thomas Merton Center is an activity of the Catholic Charities, but you don't have to be Catholic to go to the Thomas Merton Center.
No, I mean, certainly, you know, the philosophy of what we do, and really the philosophy of all Catholic Charities, is that we're called to help. We're called to serve, and especially serve the poor. We don't delineate. We're not, and we're certainly not supposed to, but we don't anyway. We don't, you know, ask. We don't even ask, you know, what your level of spirituality is, or if you have it or not. You know, our job is to serve everybody.
Do you offer, spiritual guidance or counseling to those who may be seeking it?
We do. We have spirituality group that we do 3 days a week at the Merton Center.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a volunteer that does Bible study there.
Okay.
It's totally optional. People don't have to go. They don't have to feel like they have to go. Quite a few people are very interested in it because they know that is something that we've been doing for years and years. We have a wonderful program director named Christina who has been doing groups, and she's been at the Merton Center for 25 years. So a lot of people are very aware of the fact that it's a service that we do, and so we get quite a few people that are very interested in those things.
Do you have any partnerships with, say, like area restaurants? Who I know around the country, a lot of restaurants, I've heard read stories about how they will give excess food at the end of the day or at the end of the week to kitchens like yourself. Do you have any places?
We don't have a lot. We have a very good partnership with Community Plates, which is a nonprofit out of Norwalk that mm-hmm. is a food rescue operation. So they actually get us a lot of the food for our pantry from local grocers.
Mm-hmm.
We also, our pantry is also a cooperative effort with ABCD, which is a local nonprofit in Bridgeport, and it's really a collaboration with them, and they actually provide a good amount of funding to the program for food.
Okay, so if you're a restaurateur out there and you know that you have excess food, then they should contact you.
Oh, definitely. Okay. We have a couple that have been really faithful to us. Barcelona Grill in Fairfield mm-hmm. usually does a big donation for us around the holidays every year, and there mm-hmm. are others. So we do.
Great.
It's just it's a little trickier sometimes with the restaurant food because of the health requirements.
You
have to make sure that, you know, usually it works well for catered food more so than actual restaurant prepared food.
Yeah.
Because you have, you know, it's a little tricky. We have the same health standards that the restaurants have to follow. So
right.
We can't just take food from anywhere all the time.
Are you able to follow, Mark, this is Ken again, are you able to follow people to see whether they're able to progress out of some of the desperate circumstances they're in? Let's say that they have an addiction problem. Are you able to follow them and see that they can that they'll overcome that?
For some of them, because we do a level of case management in our program, so some of the folks we help in to find those kind of services, and for them it's easier to follow. For most of them, we don't, just because typically when they're back on their feet and doing well, they may either have moved out of the area or they just may not need us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What we will get occasionally, which is really great, are people that have really got back on their feet and have come back just to thank us. Some of them, we've actually gotten a bunch of donations from folks that used to come in that were homeless that got back on their feet or went to school or got a job again, and then they've come back and donated to us and thanked us.
That's great.
But I mean, nothing formal. We don't have a formal tracking process, and a lot of that is because we just at our House of Hospitality alone, we see 200 people a day. So it would be.
The resources.
It's impossible for us to track all that.
Yeah.
And you're serving people today, Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day?
Yes. Yeah, we are. We're serving lunch today, and tomorrow we're having a brunch as well as a church service.
Are you in need of volunteer help for that?
I think we're good for today and tomorrow. We generally always need volunteer help, but we actually have a good bump up around the holidays from volunteers.
Oh, good.
But we're usually, you know, once the holidays are over, that's when we're actually going to need it.
Okay.
Okay, we're speaking with Mark Grasso, who's the director of the Thomas Merton Center in Bridgeport. He's also vice president of Catholic Charities, about the good services they're providing there. And let's give out the phone number one more time. It's 203. Could you give that out, your phone number again, Mark?
Yeah, sure. It's 203-367-9036.
And your website?
It's ccfairfield.org.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day on this Christmas Eve to join us. We've been talking about what Christmas is about, and you tremendously exemplify the Christmas in its best sense. So thank you very much for the work that you're doing for people of Bridgeport.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Mark.
Merry Christmas, Mark. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we're speaking again with Mark Grasso, a director of the Thomas Merton Center in Bridgeport, about their activities, including the food services, the breakfast, lunch, and dinners that they serve at 43 Madison Avenue here in Bridgeport to the needy. And again, if you'd like to volunteer for them during the year, you give a ring to 203-367-9036. And of course, hunger is something that's most poignant at Christmas time, when I think people need to be with family and they're keenly aware of their deprivations. But the hunger goes on year round.
Yeah, no question. I mean, do you want to talk about my trip coming up?
I very much like to, because
I think that's a good transition.
Because Gus Canavero, who's my fellow host here at In Context, is going on a trip to Cambodia, and it relates to charity. Could you talk about it?
Yeah, we're going to be going to me and the pastor of my church. We're going to Cambodia to visit a ministry out there that has got multiple parts to it. There's an orphanage where they take in children who either are true orphans or not true orphans, in that they have parents, but that the parents can't provide for them. And in Cambodia, that is rampant. There is a lot of that. Then there's the home for women from the sex trade, which there's also a lot of that as well, and their children. And then there's a farm. And there is there's an outreach to the dump where, in Cambodia, boy, this is such a multifaceted event. But I'm going there to film a documentary on this outreach, and the poverty there is like you read about. You know, we as Americans can't imagine this kind of poverty. We just spoke to the soup kitchens. And these are people in great need by American standards. But these children that I'm going to go see don't even have shoes. And their jobs are to go to the dump and collect recyclable plastics from the dump trucks and turn them in at the end of the day. And they get paid by the pound for recyclables. So in a day with maybe 14-hour work for an 8, 9, or 10-year-old child, they'll get paid between 50 cents and $1.50, depending on how good they are. They start in the dark before the sun rises, and many of them get crushed by the giant dump trucks that come in. They often don't have parents. They have never been to a school. They've never even been told that someone loves them. And this is the most sad possible situation that you can imagine. And this is a country that is predominantly Buddhist. And the difference between Buddhism and you know, what the majority religion in America, Christianity, teaches, is that Buddhism says that if you are poor and you have bad things happen to you, it's because you deserve it. Your karma is requiring this to happen to you. You're paying off the debt of your past life sins. So when these children don't have education or clothing, medicine, or proper nutrition, and they go to the dump to pick plastic out of heaps of garbage with toxic waste, essentially, it's because they deserve it. And most of the parents can't afford to let their kids go to public school, which is free, but the teachers are so underpaid that they demand additional payment from the kids when they come to class. So the parents can't afford to send the kids to school, so they have to continue to work to pay the rent, to buy the food for the family. and there is no health care at all for even basic skin infections. You know, these things kill them because they just cannot get any assistance. So where I'm going to go is a place where they take the kids off the street, they teach them how to read, they teach them how to speak English, they clothe them, they get them medical care, they teach them about nutrition and health education, and then there is legal prostitution in Cambodia, and one of their biggest clients is Western businessmen, you know, American businessmen, and you'll see them walking around with underage prostitutes on the streets. You know, they're 14 years old, and they're just walking around with them, going to cafes, and then who knows what happens. And these women have been sold to the brothels. Either they sold themselves because they couldn't get food,
yeah,
or they sold their daughters into the brothel because they needed money for food.
Yeah, they're just kids. Yeah,
they're just kids. And, you know, these women are stuck there because they have no way out, and because of what Buddhism teaches them, they believe that they deserve it. So they make no effort to escape and improve their lives.
So this institution is supported by various churches in America?
If you wanted to learn more about it, the name of the church there is Water of Life, and the outreach that I'm going to be working through to get there is called Harmony Outreach.
A Water of Life is the name of the church in Cambodia.
That's right.
I see. And various churches in America then are making contributions to get this thing going.
And you would be shocked to learn how little it costs to actually run this place and how much they're able to do with it. When you give money to the Red Cross, that money goes mostly into the executives' pockets.
Right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Only percentage points of what you pay goes to the people in either Haiti or Africa. But when you give money to Harmony Outreach or to Water of Life in Cambodia, 100% of that money gets used because the people who run this place are volunteers. They just take what they need to live.
Right.
And they've dedicated their lives to running this ministry.
So if the money gets to the end user, then it makes a big difference. And
yeah.
That's why I think that if you go on the web, I've seen a website where charities are rated by the percentage of the money they take in that goes to overhead.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure on charities now.
And because these organizations don't have overhead other than the structures that they use.
You want to keep the overhead low. You want to keep the money going to where it's needed.
And, you know, Cambodia is a really interesting country. You know, in the 70s, they were taken over by the Khmer Rouge and the communist Pol Pot, who massacred half of the country, destroyed the institution of the family and any kind of faith or religion and
so
education.
So they've got a tremendous amount of reconstruction.
Very recently, too. You know, 79 was when Pol Pot was defeated. But it's been a very short period of time, and there's an entire generation of kids who grew up without parents, never being told that they are loved and not being provided for it. And, you know, this ministry is really powerful.
Well, we wish you well on your trip. It's going to be in January.
Yeah.
You'll be documenting what's going on there as well as raising consciousness of the activities. You'll be documenting the abuses of the children as well as showing.
Yeah, and the government, because the government succeeds by the apathy of the people. They've had the same dictator president for 25 years, and he says he's not resigning until he's 90. His name's Hun Sen.
Wow, that's a nice employment.
And, and the place is a wreck.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. Rick Petrone is in the studio, so we will stay tuned for the jazz show that's coming up next, and we will be back with you in 1 week on New Year's Eve for our monthly war report, and a lot of stuff that's been going on, particularly related to Syria. So we'd like to go out with Elvis Presley, and
that's right.
I believe.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I believe forever drop the rain falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way.
Hi, I'm Valerie Richardson.
Hello, I'm Rod Richardson.
Thank you for listening to WPKN throughout the year.
And we'd like to wish you the very best of the holiday season.
And a happy 2013.
Indeed.
Support for WPKN is provided in part by Nicholas Roberts Gourmet Bistro, a unique dining experience at 75 Main Street in Norwalk. Creative gourmet delights for lunch and dinner in a warm and welcoming vibe. Menu selections at nicholasrobertsbistro.com. Nicholas Roberts Gourmet Bistro. It's all about the food.
East End Inc. presents two stories by O. Henry, read in the style of radio drama by David Houston and Diana Heinlein, Wednesday, December 26th at 7:30 p.m.
The Cop and the Anthem.
On his bench in Madison Square, Sophie moved uneasily.
When wild geese honk high of nights, and when women without sealskin coats grow kind to their husbands, and when Soapy moves uneasily on his bench in the park, you may know that winter is near at hand. The Gift of the Magi. Three times Della counted it. $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas.
O. Henry's Christmas Gift on East End Inc. Wednesday, December 26th at 7:30 p.m. on WPKN.
This is Carl J. Frano, and it has been my pleasure for over 20 years and 500 shows to play the most beautiful music I can on WPKN, the beautiful melodies and lyrics of our childhood and our parents' childhoods. No other words can express more how grateful I am than these two words. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who have supported this station in the past and made my show possible and all the programs on WPKN possible. Our future looks bright, especially considering our 50th anniversary is quickly approaching. We can make it. The future is ours. But we need you to help us get there. Won't you please think about making a year-end tax-exempt gift to this fine radio station? You can donate now online at WPKN.org. And don't forget to tune in to the Carl J. Frano Show every first and third Wednesday of the month. And however you celebrate the holidays, may they be fabulous. This is Carl J. Frano for WPKN.
Good afternoon. And welcome to the Jazz Sound here at WPKN, 89.5 FM, Bridgeport, Connecticut, online at WPKN.org. Rick Petrone, your host of the Jazz Sound, and today we're going to have a little fun for today. Since it's Christmas Eve, many of you listening probably wrapping a few packages in the car, waiting to buy the next one, at work, waiting to get in the car and come home. It's Christmas. What are we going to do? We're going to play Christmas songs.